thanks for having me tonight. And we're not going to have a stand because I don't want anything in the way between us. Is that all right? I want to feel as vulnerable and scared as you are of me, okay? I want to tell you a quick story about my mum. My mum, unfortunately, doesn't speak English very well. And so sometimes she just doesn't understand. So when she asked the neighbor one day, she says, "How are you today?" She does speak with that kind of tone, all right? "How are you today?" The neighbor said, "Oh, my uncle just passed away." Now, she didn't understand what passed away meant. She thought passed was in, he came and went away. She only heard the away bit. And so she answered back saying, "Well, that's very nice. That's very nice," to the shock horror of the neighbor. So when I shared this story to a friend of mine, he said, "Oh, that's like my grandmother. But she gets her congratulations and condolences mixed up." So when she asked her neighbor how she was going, and she said that her husband passed away, she said, "Congratulations," to the shock horror of the neighbor. Now, Christianity, it's such a big topic. It's, you know, people sometimes are like my mum. They just don't understand what Jesus or Christianity is all about. They kind of think that, as I spoke to someone last night, they said, "Oh, Jesus is just like all the other religions." Yeah? No, he's not. I just want to say that he's not. But they don't understand what it's all about. Tonight, you're going to, if that's where you're at, we've got one sentence that will change everything for you. Or some people are like my friend's grandmother that gets it all mixed up. They think it has to do with trying to be good and earn God's favor, or come to church, or as Cassandra said, praying the right things, or something like that, right? No, they mix it all up with religion. Can I say, if that's where you're at tonight, well, there's one sentence that I believe is going to explain the whole message of the Bible to you. One sentence, so simple that when you walk out tonight and someone stops you in the street and they ask you, "What's the whole message of the Bible?" you'll be able to tell them. You'll be able to answer them with one sentence. One sentence that when you understand what this is about, will change your life and your eternity. One sentence. It's not on the screen yet. Yes, that's good. One sentence. And I'm going to explain that to you tonight. And it will come on the screen now. It says, "For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit." 1 Peter, that's one sentence that picks up the whole message of the Bible. We're going to have that on the screen as I speak. So it says, excuse me, "For Christ died for sins." Sins. Now what is that? Now the Bible has many pictures to explain what sin is. So I'm going to give you three of them with some stories, okay, that might embarrass me just a little bit. All right. First one. The first girls I really liked at school never really paid any attention to me. So I decided how I'm going to get her attention. I went into one of my sister's rooms, I grabbed the bottle of perfume, I wrapped it up, brought it to school, and gave it to her. All of a sudden, I'm noticed, and she opens it up, and she smiles, and she, "What's this?" I says, "I like you, I want to go out with you." And she goes, "Okay, it was fantastic. I was hanging out with her, she was hanging out with me, my friends were hanging out with her friends and vice versa, until something happened. She broke up with me after 7.5 hours later. It was too much for a year 6 student to handle. She dumped me, man. I was heartbroken completely." Now, it's quite comical, but can you imagine if I was married to this person for 7.5 years? And actually, she just didn't dump me. She cheated on me. Imagine that would be the case. That wouldn't be something funny. Well, did you sneeze then? Okay, that's all right. Sneezing's good. I thought, man, he hasn't got a heart, this bloke. He's wearing a leather jacket and everything. Wow, hey, there you go. They've got the Fonz right there, right? After 7.5 years, imagine that she not only cheated on me, but she prostituted herself with other people. And I knew about it. And it wouldn't change her ways. Now, I just couldn't get back with someone like that, couldn't I? There is a problem in our relationship. Clearly, big problems. There's a separation. There's a breakdown in our relationship. Well, that is one picture of what it is for what sin is in the Bible. God has created us to be in a personal relationship with Him, relating to Him as our Creator, our God. We are to enjoy Him, worship Him. But unfortunately, humanity have cheated on God. We've gone off with other religions. We've gone off with other pursuits. We don't really pay any attention to God unless something's really problematic in our life. And we just use Him. There's a breakdown in our relationship with God. There's a separation. And it's just, there's got to be some stuff that's worked out. But it's got to be on God's end, not ours. Because we are the ones who have turned the back and have done the dirty on Him. That's the first picture of sin that the Bible talks about. The second picture is like this one. Now imagine, all right, look, I'm not really happy with Canberra. Imagine that, the politicians, and I just wanted to take some action. So I bring Ange, the senior minister of this church, because he's a strategic thinker. Now, I know there's another bloke here that's got muscle. There's that Lucas. I'm not sure if he's here tonight. Huge bloke. He'll be the muscle, okay? I just have the Al-Qaeda lookalike going on here, right? And so the three of us think, that's it. We can do a better job. Greeks and Italians, I mean, they invented democracy. The Italians just ruled the world for 1,500 years and made everything concrete. We can do it, right? We drive down to Canberra. This is it. Actually, in fact, we convinced the Wellington team to come with us, okay? This is part of their missionary training. All right, just bear with me. We go in there. We're going to take over Australia. I'm the first one to run out because I'm the idiot, right? I'm the one that goes, yeah, we're taking over. Bang, arrested. Some of you, Lucas might get close to the Prime Minister to dethrone him. Angelo's got the strategic thinking going along, right? He's got it all worked out. But can you imagine if we did that? An attempt of coup in Australia. You're laughing, some of you. You should. It would be stupidity if we were to do that with these kind of people. No offense, Angelo, but it would be really bad, right? The media have a field day where we get picked on by all the comedians. Breaking news. Idiots try to take over Australia, right? It could never happen. And in fact, if we did that, we would be treated as traitors to Australia. It would be called treason, and we'd be spending the rest of our lives in prison. It would not be a laughable thing to the Australian government. Now, God rules this world. It's His world. We are mere stewards looking after it. We're kind of like on renting, so to speak. It's not our world, but we live in a way as if it's our world. In fact, it's worse than that. All of us have declared war on the kingdom of God by the way we live. We have committed spiritual treason. Now, that might be a laughing matter amongst ourselves, but to a God who rules this world, and what have we done with His world? We're destroying it. There's disaster everywhere. How we treat one another. Everywhere we look, there are broken relationships. There's a breakdown in with creation and ourselves. And we use all the good things that God has given us for selfish ambition. We have declared war on the kingdom of God. It is spiritual treason, and the punishment is death. That's why we die. So, we've broken relationship with God. We're cheating on Him. We've declared war on His kingdom. And we won't win. Finally, well, this one, a lot of you weren't probably born. Anyone born around before 2000, year 2000? Put your hand up. Yeah, everyone in the back. Yeah, you guys have got it all wrong here in Ngawi Baptist. I thought that all the young people should be at the back and the old people at the front. No, all the old people, the tough ones, they're at the back. Except for the Fonz at the front there. He's looking good. There we go. Year 2000, I've got to say, for those who remember it, was probably one of the best years to live in Sydney. For one reason, the Olympics. Everyone was smiling. Do you remember that? Man, it was like, what has happened? In fact, so much so, one night I was driving on Victoria Road, trying to get to a cafe in the city to surprise my friend. And I wasn't keeping an eye on the speed I was doing. And suddenly, there's someone in the middle of the road, and I was thinking, what an idiot. Don't stand in the middle of the road. I should hit you just to teach you a lesson. thank God I didn't do that because it was a police officer. Pull over. And he's smiling. I'm freaking out. He's smiling. I think this guy's got a loose screw somewhere there, right? He's happy. He knocks on the window. Hello there. Hi. Did you know how fast you were going? And he's still smiling. No, you were speeding. You broke on the law. I'm thinking, great, he's smiling. He's in a good mood. The Olympics, there's fireworks. Someone's won gold somewhere. I'm going to get away with it. No, he writes me a ticket with a smile on his face. Don't trust people that smile at serious things. Just like people who don't blink, never trust them. He is smiling as he's writing this ticket. I am not happy. It's costing me $200. I've broken the law. But can you imagine if I looked at him and went, I ain't paying that fine. You're an idiot for standing in the middle of the road. There comes another ticket. I ain't paying that one either. It doesn't matter how many times I refuse to pay. I've broken the law. There is a price to be paid. I'll be in the courts and be forced to pay it some way or another. Friends, we have all broken God's laws. We've all done it. If you haven't thought of, on the outside, you haven't thought, I haven't really murdered anyone, but you've probably thought about it once upon a time in your deepest, darkest moments. And guess what? God judges the motivation as well as the act. All the secret things that you try to keep hidden, He knows. You're a lawbreaker. I'm a lawbreaker. And we have to pay. That is death. So that's what sin is, friends. There's three clear pictures. We've cheated on God. We've broken relationship with Him. We've declared war on His kingdom. We're lawbreakers. That's the diagnosis of humanity before us. That's me. But it says, good news though, this verse. This one sentence. For Christ died for sins. How many times? Once for all. The righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Jesus came, and His primary mission was to bring us back to God, and it would involve Him dying in our place. Now, I don't know if you ever have these fantasies at times, whether you want to swap lives with someone. You ever have that before? Yeah, some of you are nodding. Yep, yep. Our friend is the Fonz with the jacket. That's it, right? There we go. I wanted to swap lives with someone, and this is probably telling my age again, with a character called Shaquille O'Neal. Why are you laughing? There's a gentleman there cracking up. Is it any obvious that I've never been picked for any basketball teams? The Shaq, as they call him, is 7 feet tall. He weighs over 300 pounds. The bloke's a machine. What a big unit. He's not only an NBA star in the basketball, right? He's won a gold medal at the Olympics. He starred in a movie and released a rap album. How good does it get? He can't fit in a Ferrari, but that would be a good boastful thing, right? He needs his suits made because at Lowe's it just doesn't go, right? He's a massive man. Wouldn't it be great if I could swap places with him? It would be like this. You know what I would do? I would walk up the street here with my hands in the air. So it looked like I'm 11 foot tall, right? And I would say, does anyone need a light bulb changed? Because I don't need a ladder. I would love to go to the local basketball, or actually play basketball in here with some of you. Take that basketball, dunk it, and break the ring. I would love to do that. Just to teach you a lesson. You can't play against the Shaq. It'd be awesome. What an arrogant thing to do. Or go down to the local supermarket and go to the checkout person. How's the weather down there? It's tropical up here. Right? That'd be great to do that. You might be thinking, well, that's all right for you, Ross. You get all the perks of swapping places with an NBA gold medalist, movie star, rapper. Okay? Yes, it'd be great for me. But he would have to become this little short Italian guy that gets searched at every airport. Right? It would not be good for him. He gets the raw end of the stick. I get the good stick, right?
this is an illustration of Jesus who leaves the glory of heaven, the throne. He becomes a human being, becomes a slave. He's the righteous one who's always kept God's commands. He's always lived in a right relationship with his Father. He has not declared any war or committed spiritual treason. He has always lived in line and in perfect harmony with his Father in heaven. He's the righteous one. But on one fundamental day in history, he swaps places with you and me. He dies the death that we deserve as being lawbreakers of those who have committed spiritual treason and declared war on God's kingdom. He is the one who stands in our gap as one, as if he was the one who broke relationship with God. He becomes us and dies the punishment that we deserve so that we can look like him. He becomes unrighteous. He never did anything wrong, but he becomes unrighteous so that we could become righteous. We can look like him. Innocent. Perfect. Back to God. Relating like we're supposed to. This is good news. He swaps places so that we can live. It's great news, friends. How do you know this is true? How do you know this is true? You should always ask that question. What is the guarantee that this is true? Well, I don't understand people who pay money to get scared. I don't get it. Okay? Bungee jumping. Have you ever thought about that? What a silly thing. To stand on the edge of a bridge and you get tied up around your feet with this giant hair scrunchie, okay? Attached to an elastic band. I mean, does that rashly make sense? I mean, no, it doesn't. And you've got long hair. I don't. I've got hair scrunchies for my armpits, but that's about it. Right? It doesn't make sense. And they count you down. And they expect you to jump. 3, 2, 1, jump. There's no way I'll be jumping. And I've seen them, you know, and they're holding onto the pole. 3, jump, jump. And they've got to jump off. And they go down. And before they hit the water or the concrete or whatever that is, their hair scrunchie kicks into gear and grabs your ankles and brings you straight back up. It's a disgraceful concept. Jesus died. He really did. He died, was dead for 3 days. But he came back. He came back to life. Did you see it there? He was put to death in the body but made alive by the Spirit. God brought him back to life. He smashes death. This is the guarantee that all these things that we've been talking about, that the righteous for the unrighteous to bring you back to God, is guaranteed because he came back to life. No one else has done that. No one else has done that. Only he has done that. To make sure that these promises are true. It's like my favorite rap group, the Cross Movement's lyrics. Jesus was hung up like a poster, died, was buried, and then popped up like a toaster to bring God and man closer. Yeah? That's 1 Peter 3, friends. There's no heresy there. He's the bread of life, yeah? Toaster, there you go. Oh boy, I'm cheesy dad, that's right. But that's right, Jesus died. He died for our sins. He died for our sins only to... You can't keep a good man down. He came back to life to guarantee this verse so that anyone who puts their trust in Jesus, gives their life to Jesus, confesses like Cassandra did tonight, they are brought back to God. The sins will not be counted against them. God will reconcile with them. They'll be one with God again through Jesus. The relationship is brought back together. There is no treason anymore. It's all been pardoned. You will not be considered a lawbreaker anymore. Your record is clean. I've got to say, that's great news, don't you? So friends, where do you stand with Jesus tonight? How you answer that question will help you to answer the next question. Are you still living for yourself? Well, God will say, well, you're not in a right relationship with me. You've declared war on my kingdom, but you won't win. And you'll never pay back all the laws that you've broken. You cannot get pardon from that yourself. Or would you run to Jesus and say, thank you for swapping places with me. And you'll be seen by God as forgiven. Like Jesus, you'll be innocent and perfect in his sight. How you answer that question, my friends, will help you to answer the last question. If today was your last day on planet Earth, where would you spend eternity? Would it be with Jesus in heaven, rejoicing for eternity with God's people, where there is no evil and lawbreakers, where there is no one declaring war on God's kingdom, where there is no broken relationship? Or will you be in existence without God, which is ultimately hell for eternity? Friends, this verse changes everything. This sentence is the most important sentence in the world. And I want to encourage you, if you don't know Jesus, you might be thinking tonight, I want to cross over. I want things to be different in my life. I want this forgiveness. If you've never prayed this prayer to receive Jesus into your life, I'm going to pray a prayer. And it simply is that you would say yes to King Jesus. You would say sorry for the way you've treated him, and that you put your trust in what he did for you. Okay? So we're going to have a moment now to pray. If you're a Christian tonight, you might just want to pray this in the silence of your heart and mind, and be like this, yeah, I believe this is fantastic. But if you've never prayed this prayer, and tonight you want to put your trust in Jesus, then I want to invite you to pray these words, as I pray it slowly, in the silence of your heart and mind. So why don't we bow our heads and do business with God right now? Let me pray. Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for rejecting you as King of my life. I want to turn from my life of sin and give my life to you. I accept you, Jesus, as my personal King, and I thank you for rescuing me by your death and resurrection. I promise to follow you this day forth. Please give me your Holy Spirit to help me. Amen.